bless you, my brothers and sisters. Try to see if we can get this. Let me see. Give us a minute. We're trying to see if we can get this. Oh, it's blinking like that.
It's blinking? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not do it. Okay, let's not do it.
Okay. All right. We're trying to get us hooked up here, but we'll go back to the old school way, I guess. Well, God bless everybody. Certainly a privilege to be back with you all once again. And you came back for more. All right. So let's buckle up by the grace of the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer as they get it turned on. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, Lord, just for this opportunity once again, Lord, to stand behind this desk, Lord Jesus, and just present this Sunday school lesson. I pray you touch every heart. Lord, just bless your children, Lord Jesus, as we learn about you, Father God. And bless this whole day, Lord, the services, Lord. May our hearts be prepared, Lord, to worship you, to hear from heaven, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. Bless our brothers, Lord, just around the world, Lord, traveling and those on the mission trip. And bless us now, Father. We commit it in your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Financial Jubilee, Fighting to Believe, Part 6. And definitely, you know, this is certainly a fight. You know, we started last time, and it's all about fighting to believe. And Jubilee, as we know, that word is about freedom. And although we say financial jubilee, I hope by now you're seeing that we're really talking about the freedom that Christ gives all of us. You know, to make us whole, to deliver us from any type of bondage that we are in. We can go to the next slide, my brothers. And Jubilee, I love this quote. It says, no matter how long they had been in bondage or how long they were supposed to stay there, when the year come of Jubilee, when the trumpet sounded, every man could go free if he wanted to go free. And I just love that. If you take a minute just to look at those words, you know, no matter how long you've been in bondage. So if we just use financial jubilee as just a map, it's a symbol. It's just something small that we all can relate to as we work, we earn money, we get new jobs, we save, we buy, we spend. Just something small that we can hold on to, that we all can relate to as we look at these greater promises that God has for us. And so no matter how long we've been, how long we've handled money, I mean, some of it is generational. For me, it was generational from history and history and history that I grew up not knowing any clue how to handle any type of money. All we knew, you get money, we buy candy. That's what we started out with. That's all we had to ask my dad for, a dime and a penny. I knew you needed a penny for tax, and that was about it. We could buy a dime worth of candy. And that's pretty much how my journey with money started. And it, no matter how long you were supposed to be there, how long you were supposed to stay that way, as I got older and finally got my mortgage, and man, I thought I was living it up. You know, I took every dime and I tried to get the biggest house that we could possibly get. This was in Maryland, and to the max. And they had, you know, of course, 10-year loan, 15-year loans, 30-year loans were the normal. I got me a 40-year loan, and I thought I was my goodness. And was thinking about the next generation loans, you could pass it to your kids after you leave. But thank God we stopped at 40. But praise the Lord, when the trumpet sounded, that stopped me in my track. I asked the Lord what happened, and he started revealing to me all about this Jubilee. So every man could go free if he wanted to go free. By the grace of the Lord Jesus. Go to the next slide. So it's cleaning up our lives, you know, as we look at our prophet and what he says, pay your debts. Owe no man. Get all things off your hands. Get everything right. Make ready. Get ready. Remember, in the name of the Lord, something is fixing to happen. Amen. So it's about cleaning up our lives, getting ourselves ready. And remember, it's a fight. It's a fight that we're trying to win at. We're trying to win at something. Go to the next slide, brothers. And I brought this out last time. And it says that's the way it is with human life. You can't play the rules of the game of life wrong and expect to win. So I hope we're all here trying to win. We're trying to win something. I know by the grace of the Lord, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win something. You know, whether you're playing sports or anything in this life journey, it's about winning. So I love this quote because we can relate. We're trying to win. We're trying to win with our families. We're trying to win in our marriages. We're trying to win in our homes. We want to do things right. Any young couple, young person starting out, I mean, you're thinking about marrying Prince Charming and Princess Charming, and oh, life is going to be at ease. You're going to get the job. Oh, it's going to be perfect. But somehow along the journey, you realize, oh my, I need some help. But by the grace of the Lord, we have the word of God that gives us the rules to play by. And if we expect to win, we got to play according to the rules. The rule book has been here, my brothers and sisters. It's been here all of our lives since we all were born. That word of God has been there. And many of us with the prophet of God since we were here. I was born in 1978. Prophet was well off the scene. All the tapes were recorded at that time. And the same word. Now, there are so many people that doesn't seem to have any kind of purpose in life, and especially in the day that we now live. People just seem to think that all they have to do is keep up with someone else, with the fashions of this world, with the enticements of this world, and with the enticements that the world has given to them. That's right. And we just, you know, we set our bar to what everybody else is doing. You know, and there's another quote I won't put it on the screen, but Brother Brim said it's so many different angles. And it's so many different angles in this day and time that he said we hardly know what to do. You know, you got so many voices, so many screenshots, so many. We need God's word, and we have to fight to hold on what is right by the grace of the Lord. We came across a testimony, Brother Joe shared it, and I thought I would bring it up and just read it out. Brother Terry Tidwell, we can bring to the next screen. Just a wonderful testimony, but I want to bring into context, what are we fighting for? What are we fighting for? And this testimony, as I thought about Financial Jubilee, it just kind of brought me to some thoughts, but I want to just actually read the testimony for you. And so I know these are small print, so you don't have to try to read it, but I'll read it. It says, as many of you know, this is Brother Terry Tidwell. He said, I was the youngest of six kids. I was told I just kind of slipped in there. My parents were not planning to have any more kids after the five they had, but I had to be born. We lived in this house near Franklin, Tennessee. We had no running water, no phone, no plumbing. My dad worked and preached, trying to keep food on our table while also trying to feed the lost. It was a rainy afternoon. I was 4 or 5, and the oldest was around 10. And being stuck inside, we were all getting on Mom's nerves. With only 2 rooms to play in, Mom suggested that we get down on our knees and pray that the Lord would send my brother and sister a pair of shoes, since they didn't have any for church the next day. What started as a sweet gesture was a defining moment in my life. Together in the living room, all 6 of us kids huddled together to pray that the Lord would send shoes for my brother and sister so they could go to church the next morning. It was late in the afternoon on that long summer day when a car came slowly rolling down our country road. A knock at the door revealed Brother and Sister Gibson, who lived 40 miles away, standing there with bags in their hands. Brother Gibson, in his quiet manner, explained to Mama that while he was praying today, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, go buy shoes for your children. As 6 small faces were fastened upon the preacher, Mama began to cry. Out of those bags came not just 2, but 6 little boxes of brand new shoes. For months afterwards, Mama would pray over and polish all 6 pair of shoes on Saturday night before church on Sunday, thanking God for answering prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a testimony. My goodness. By the grace of the Lord. So when you look at that, and I just want to update this, not change the testimony, but I want to tell you what we deal with, and certainly for the modern generation. Flip the next slide. Bring up ads for Kohl's. So if we look at that testimony, what's happening now? It would be a little different. Mama would probably be worried about the kids needing shoes. Kohl's ad would show up. 30% off with a credit card. Mom would be like, okay, I'm going to go down and get some pair of shoes. She would go get the shoes on credit, get her 30% off. But they needed a coat also. So she would go and get some coats for them as well, putting on credit. It's only $5 more a month. What's the big deal? She also needed a pair of shoes too. So she got her 3 pair of shoes. And she liked that bracelet as well because she deserved it. You know, she'd been working hard. And she might as well get her husband a gift too while she's at it. That's going to go up to $8 more a month. Hey, let's go ahead and do it. But his birthday is coming up as well. So she's going to go and get his birthday present on credit also. That's only $13 more a month. And she's going to take it all home. When Jimmy sees the shoes, he didn't want those pair of shoes because he wanted some Nikes. He didn't want Adidas. So now he breaks down into a tantrum and he's crying. She's upset. Dad gets home. Is like, man, why you buy all this stuff? Well, it's only $18 a month. Why are you complaining? And I got your gift. But now he's depressed. He's sad because she's spent too much money that he didn't have. And there you go. Now they're arguing. They're mad with all this stuff on the desk, all this stuff on the table. And nothing has been learned. They have been cursed by what should have been a blessing. And they never got an opportunity to see what God can do. That's what the devil is trying to do to us. It's all a gimmick. You heard the quote, Brother Branham, talking about cigarettes, saying it's all a gimmick. Well, it's the same thing. That's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to weaken our faith so we can never obtain to what God wants for us. We don't know how to depend on him. We don't know how to ask for him. We don't know how to wait for him. And that's what it's all about. And Satan can get in there and mess us up. So regardless of where you are in your life, then he knows he can have that pattern for the rest of your life. And the last thing you're doing is trying to wait on God when you have all access to everything you need. We don't wait on the Lord. We just go out and we do. And this is what God is trying to help us to slow down, to back up, to learn his principles and standards so we can get to the true, true riches of God. Go to the next slide. As we've talked about the principles, and I'm just going to run through these. These are the principles that we should be thinking about on a day-to-day basis. God owns everything. He is our Father. We are the bride of Christ, or we should be. So we should be waiting on our husband who already promises that he can supply all of our needs. He has promised that. We have it in the Word. He owns it all. But we have to manage what he gives us very diligently. Remember, money costs your time. I don't care if you're borrowing it. I don't care what it is. Something has to pay for that. And the only thing that's going to pay for that is your time, your life. We have to be patient. We have to avoid debt like a curse. We have to save. We have to watch the ants, learn from them. And remember, the best investment is giving, but we need to be in a position where we can give freely. And remember, godliness with contentment is a great gain, great gain. And that's the desire that we're after. We're after that great gain. So we're talking about how to fight. And fighting, again, remember, God has these promises for us financially, within our marriage, within our every, he has all of the examples for us, but we have to fight. The next slide. He says, now the people today are expecting. Now remember, God gave them the land down in Egypt. Said, the land is yours, every bit of it. Now, the people today are expecting God to reach down, get them by the neck, say, yes, that's right. You bring me out, clean me off, heal me, and I'll believe you. God doesn't do his business that way. He gives you the promise. Remember, we have that word. We have the promises. But you have to go fight for every inch of ground that you have to fight for every inch of ground that you possess. And we always know this is scripture that is very well known here. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have all these promises, and Israel is a great example for us to see. God made the promise, but you have to fight for it. So everything I've been talking about, just financial jubilee, it's something you're going to have to fight for, but it's yours. All of these promises that we hear, they're ours, but we're going to have to fight for it. We can't expect it to be delivered to us. And I know Brother Dale always brings out, and he said for a long time, you know, many in this message are not going to make the rapture. And that's sad because we're expecting that it's just going to be given. instead of fighting for this, fighting for the promises. God called us to be examples. That's what he did for Israel. They were just to be an example. So other nations could see a nation that could follow God. It had nothing to do with whether they're going to be rich, poor. David, Solomon, they had great riches. But he was looking for a nation that could be an example in everything. He wanted them to be the head, not the tail. He made it very clear they would be the ones lending to nations, not the one borrowing. So how much more of an example God wants for us in this last day, the end time, we're at the end of the whole game, but we know how to win. We know what we should be winning. We know, but we're expecting it different. Why? Because the devil has gimmicks. He has all of these gimmicks for us. Go to the next slide. And this quote, just my goodness, this just almost blew me away, you know, as I was looking at this yesterday. He said, now remember, God gave them the land down in Egypt. That land is yours, every bit of it. Now the people today are expecting, I'm sorry, did I go to the next one? He said, if you've got a shadow of a power of God in you, you got power to do it. God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will make you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah. There you are. My goodness. Do we believe that? Amen. I mean, do we really believe we could actually go speak a world with ocean, land, seas into existence and go live on it? Well, I do. I believe we do. But I don't believe it's going to be something we're going to just going to show up one morning and you're going to have that kind of power. No. If we can't save $500 for an emergency fund, then I think we need to back up a little bit, make sure we can start creating something where we can see God move, where we can have testimonies of God moving in every area of our life to get to where we can step into this kind of power, where we can raise the dead. We can get people out of the graves for a resurrection that we've heard so much about. But brothers and sisters, I don't believe it's just going to show up one morning and we don't have the character to do it. So God is trying to get us to that point where we have something we can continue to step one step at a time to reach this kind of power. Yes. This is not just a myth, he's saying. With the Holy Spirit, we have that kind of power. That's what power is in the church now. But it's controlled by a law. It's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the soles of your foot can set upon. Now notice that you can set upon. If you can't set there to create a world, it's not going to happen. If we can't set to save for an emergency fund, if we can't set our foot to, I can buy a car with cash. Brothers and sisters, we're falling for the gimmicks. We're falling for the tricks. Because you get a character as you build, as you save, as you wait on the Lord, you get to see him. Just as Brother Terry Tidwell brought out, it was a defining moment in his life to see God answer that prayer. That set a foundation of faith in a young boy. And the same thing we should be able to do by the grace of the Lord, set examples for our children, for our families, for our friends, for our coworkers, for everything that we do. But this is not easy. It's not. It is a fight. And if we can just do little things by the grace of the Lord, knowing what is the prize, knowing every day, Brother Wade and Brother Dale and the brothers just sacrificing, bringing us these promises. They're bringing us the promises. 50 years, if we know Brother Dale, bringing these promises. But oh God, we have to be able to step into it. Can we rise to the faith or are we just hearing things? So that's what the journey is. If we could take a small thing, it don't matter how young you are, where you are in your journey, if you could start saving a little bit to say, Lord, I'm going to have to wait on you. I'm going to have to sacrifice, Lord, and wait. I know I want it and I see a way I can get it my way or the way the world tells me through this gimmick. But Lord God, let me hold on just for a little longer, Father. I do need this, Lord, but I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the money to do it. So Lord God, I'm going to need you to supply. Okay? Because when he does give you the money, he still needs you to wait on him. We just can't do whatever we want to because it's all his. And that becomes a difficult responsibility when you have children, you got family, and you're like, Lord, what would you want me to do? I can do this, Father, but I want to be led by you. But I want to be in a position, Lord, if you speak to me, like Brother Gibson says, go buy those kids' shoes. You're in a position. He doesn't break out his credit card and says, ah, I'm going to get them shoes and a coat too. No, 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 no. God supplies. God works on all avenues. He says, if you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, that never leaves you, that power. It's with you all the time. But, he says, your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. So, my, what power do we have with this word of God? In the end of the end times, we are here with such power, such promises. But we're going to have to fight, my brothers and sisters. Fight. Let's go to the next slide. Fight, fight, fight. But Moses, Joshua, and the Israelites had to fight for every inch. And every promise in the book is yours, but God will never give it to you. And you lay back on a bed of ease. That's what his brother Brim, this is his quote. He'll never give it to you. You'll fight for every inch you get. That's it. Fight for every inch. Things are handed to you. That's what the matter with the American people tonight. You've got everything handed to you, well-fed, fattened, and clothed, and everything. So you think the devil doesn't know that? You don't think he has set this thing up? He's designed this thing. It is the most fantastic marketing scheme in the end time that we're facing right now. Internet, the devil, he has it for free. Oh, we are influencing one another. We are just all in trying to keep up with everybody else. The devil has this design because he knows if we can get to where things are handed to us, we don't know how to fight. And he knows we will never even get close to these promises that God has promised for us. Go to the next slide as we're kind of winding up. And this is what ended up. You ended up with people that was holding on to God's promised hand and those who couldn't even get close. You had Caleb. He stilled the people. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to do it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against his people, for they are stronger than we. So that's what we're talking about. That's where we're in. As our faith gets weakened and we can't get to these promises, we're hearing these things. If we don't have that, those patterns, we don't have the strength we haven't built up, you can't run a marathon, my brothers and sisters. I know I couldn't unless I practice. You know, so this is greater than a marathon. So there's no way. Unless we practice every single day, every single hour, everything that we're doing, asking God to be with us and guide us on this journey. Amen. So we can get to where these promises, as they become more of a reality in our lives, we're not like the other 10 that said we're not able to go up. We know we're able to go up because we've seen him move. We have so many areas in our life, so many testimonies just stacked up on one another in our own life, our own experience, that we're like, no, the same God that I serve, he can do this. The same God that I know, he can do this. Let's go to the next slide. We'll skip to the next one after this. Keep going. So we have to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to have the whole armor of God. And that's why we're here today, to get equipped, to hear the word, to get the whole armor of God in our mental mind, in our physical strength, in our decisions, to wait on God, to be courageous, to be strong. All those things promised in Joshua. We got to be strong. We got to wait on the Lord, all those kind of things. And we got to have this full armor of God every day, so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. I just want to bring out one of the wiles of the devil, because I've been spending some time in Moses, with Moses and the children of Israel, and Balaam. Go to the next slide. You know, Balaam, he tried his best to curse the children of Israel. He couldn't do it. He finally realized he couldn't do it. The scripture ended up saying, for they vexed you with, when God told Moses finally to go down there and wipe out the Midianites, he says, for they have vexed you with their vows, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. That's what God finally told Moses. Go down and wipe them out because they have vexed you with their wiles, with their gimmicks, with their tricks. What was this trick? What was this trick that they ended up pulling off? He could not, Balaam couldn't curse them. So what he came up with was, hey, we're just going to have a big party and invite them to a party. That was the gimmick. Brother Brenham said they got up there. They started seeing all of these fancy things, all of these women half naked. And it was like, wow, wow. And they compromised. They compromised. And that's how they end up falling. Couldn't curse them. They end up cursing themselves. So Satan knows he can't get us with all of these different things that, you know, we've gotten away from in the world. Many of us drinking, smoking, all those kind of things. But if he can get us with little gimmicks, just go the way of the world. Don't wait on the Lord. Find a way. There's an easier way. We don't have to wait on anything. It's free. Just figure out something the way the world has it designed. We will never see God move in our life. But we will have what we think we needed. We will have these things, but not realizing that our faith has been weakened. We're just listening to things that we don't even believe is possible. When God wants to show us there is nothing, nothing impossible for God. You know, the world is full of all these advertisements. It has this little ad with this little girl that says, using your first credit card wisely. She's probably about 10 years old. Promise you, if she was wise, she wouldn't have that. No. And I got this other little thing that was pretty funny to me. Said, I'm a Jones. Try to keep up. That social media world. You see, and all the Jones, everybody, I'm a Jones. Keep up with me. Keep up with me. And we're striving. We're fighting, going the way of the world versus fighting to wait on God to have him move so we can get to this freedom. Because remember, Jubilee, we're saying financial Jubilee, but I hope by now you're realizing it's God just really saying, hey, it's time for us. Time for us to be free in Christ, free from any bondage. Oh, it's grace in his freedom. And that's the wonderful thing about God. That's what I have experienced is grace in his freedom, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of all of that. No matter how long we've been, no matter how long we're supposed to be, God can make us free. So I pray God bless you. I pray you hold on to these things. Let's fight for our freedom in Christ. Amen. So we can truly, truly get to all these precious promises. Certainly see all the young couples and the couples starting out. Hey, fight. Fight now. Fight now. I promise you, if you talk to any couple older, they would say fight, fight. And when you're younger, fight for your marriage, fight for your finances, fight to be that example. God has given you so much potential by the grace of the Lord to be in this world, all of us. We have so much potential. And I pray God will continue to bless us all. The musicians can come on up. God bless you. And be blessed.